chance to close out this drive with a tutty. Third down and goal from the four. Webster and Scott are the wideouts. Pettis in the slot. Looking for Pettis in the corner. Touchdown.
Beautiful setup from the slot by Pettis to the corner out. And way to get it up quick by Tyson Bajan. That was good timing. It threw him to the open spot. Watch. So Pettis knows it's open. It's man. And he's just throwing to the open spot. He could have, technically, you want to throw it to the back pylon, but he was just looking at the trajectory of where the open spot was. Throws a nice, easy ball. That way Dante can just react to the ball. So excellent drive. Well done.
Quarterbacking analysis on Fox 32 by our next guest, Jim Miller, who joins the Bernstein and Holmes show now. The Fox 32 analyst and Sirius XM NFL radio host is on Twitter at Jim Miller _NFL. And he's with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. What's up, Jim?
I'm doing great. Dan, Lawrence, good to be with you guys.
Same here. I love to know, like, when you're putting together your notes and you're getting ready for a game, and just from all of your experience of playing the position, what are the things that you're looking for when it comes to progress? And can any of that stuff be seen by you in a preseason?
Yeah, I think you can see young quarterbacks, one, check and plays. I think we saw Caleb Williams do that. There was the one where he stuck both his arms out and he's kind of shaking both his fists at the line of scrimmage. So that's command of the huddle, command of the line of scrimmage. He understands what he's seeing. He's making the call and getting the offense in the proper play. You know, their progressions, you can always see the progressions of quarterbacks and how quickly they get through them. Like Tyson Bajan, what I brought up about him, that guy gets the ball out now. I mean, even last year, one out of every 19 dropbacks, he was sacked. You want to be in about one every 24 dropbacks. So I think you can see how quickly guys process and, you know, and just their awareness. You know, I think you saw in the game the other day from Caleb, just his awareness. That's what makes him special. He bails out of pocket. He understands the situation. He does the stop and start on who I think the linebacker was, Blazer or somebody like that. And he throws a dart into the back of the end zone to Odunze that could have been a touchdown. You know, I just think his awareness, he's aware of all 22 guys on the field, including himself, and what he's going to do.
So there's a balance between the desire to wait for people to come open, holding on to the ball, manipulating defenders, and also saying, hey, that guy's running down the field. He's fast, even though he's right here. Why don't I just give him the ball and we'll see if we can get a big chunk on the next play? What is the process going to be like in real games for Caleb Williams to understand when to take the free cheese and when to dream bigger dreams?
Well, it's going to be different every week, Dan, you know, because he's going to have different looks, different blitzes, different coverages that he's going to have to be prepared for. And you can't, you know, it's hard during camp nowadays because they only practice once a day to show a young quarterback all the looks. You know, that you physically see it and go against it and attack it physically and then go and watch yourself on tape. You know, it's one thing to be in a meeting room and you can show a guy, but sometimes guys need to physically go through it. They need to see it. They need to feel it. And it's hard to give in one, you know, in an hour and a half practice in a day, all the looks that potentially 31 other teams could give Caleb Williams. So it's, you know, that's something that's going to be built up over time. You know, and I always bring it up, if you have a quarterback that has a good rote memory, you know, say week one, you see a certain blitz, and maybe you'll see that blitz again week eight, and you already covered that blitz week one, and Caleb goes, hey, coach, I already got it. We checked to this. We gutted that blitz. I've got it down. We don't need to cover it. Let's move on to the next three or four looks that this team is going to present. So there will be carryover, and that rote memory, that's how you build your library, your Encyclopedia Britannica, where every time you step to line of scrimmage, I just pull that Britannica, that booklet out. Oh, this is Blitz Zero. This is what we do against Blitz Zero. Let me pull that volume out, and I'm about to gut this Blitz Zero. So it's going to take time.
What's your feeling on joint practice versus preseason game? And the reason that I asked you, like, Dan and I have been discussing it, I just feel like there's a difference in how everyone reacts when the quarterback is actually in danger?
I personally, I think from a coaching and player perspective, it's better to have the cross scrimmages than the preseason games. And here's why. Because you can script situations that don't arise in a preseason game, say a goal line situation or a short yardage situation, a coming out situation, a 2 minute. So you can script all those things and get them all in that you may not get in a preseason. Those situations may never arise in a preseason game. And here's where I think the NFL is missing the boat. I think they could monetize cross scrimmages. You know, they could have, say, Adam Amin or me, live broadcasting the scrimmage. All right, hey, we're going to go down and let's check out the one-on-ones, almost like they do the combine. And the NFL could monetize that and maybe use those cross scrimmages and do away with the preseason games. Plus, if I were the NFL, I'd do it at the stadium, like a regular game day, and I'd offer it for free to the public. Because if I'm the NFL, you're losing a younger generation of potential football fans. You know, the pricing and the cost to go to games, it's very costly. And I think that's a great opportunity because a lot of teams aren't going away for training camps. And if you just offered free cross scrimmages where fans could come watch it, they'd come in droves and it'd have a very intimate atmosphere and you'd still be building younger fans for the future of the NFL.
I always think about this, the number of training camps that I covered. And like you say, it's not like it used to be, that the ability to, the physical rest, the recovery time.
Did you go up to Platteville,
Hell
Dan?
Hell yeah.
Were you making those trips
Hell
up there?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was there watching that first practice when I saw Rick Meyer throw a ball 20 feet over somebody's head, and we looked at each other like, oh my God, this guy might be terrible. And we were right. It was, yes, I've the memories of Platteville are fuzzy at this point, but they're still there. And the reason I ask is, physically, there was a time where guys were just done, were just beat up, and would need to take these time. Now they have the veterans' days, and they plan it all out. What I'm curious about is mentally. When you start talking about building up your encyclopedia and being able to reference a certain file, is there like the equivalent of like a mental dead arm period when you're just like, you know, coach, Let me digest some of this stuff. Let me switch my brain to a different channel because something's got to figure it out that isn't necessarily top of mind, like a mental rest.
Yeah, and I think the coaches are aware of that. I mean, when you do the install periods, I always bring this up. There's two ways to install. You know, you can piecemeal the offense. All right, hey, when we first get Caleb Williams in the building, all right, Caleb, here is our base offense. And then, all right, here is our third down package. Here is our blitz package. Now here is our empty package. And you can piecemeal it to a player. So base offense, all right, now let's get into this. We feel he's got all that down. Now we'll give him a little bit more to digest. Or you can do it the other way. Like when I came into the Steelers, Ron Earhart was my offensive coordinator, and they had veteran quarterbacks. It was Neil O'Donnell, and it was Mike Tomczak. So the whole enchilada, you had to swallow it because they weren't slowing down for anybody. They were so far advanced that, hey, you got to pick it up. We're moving on and we're building out this slash package and we're putting in all these other things. So, Jim, start swimming.
So, and that's Caleb, Earhart. Ron Earhart is of the Earhart Perkins system, correct?
With
the Patriots style packaged plays.
Yeah, that offense has won more Super Bowls and been in more Super Bowls than any offense in the NFL. So we can talk West Coast and all this new offense that Sean McVay and everybody's bringing to the table. That Ron Earhart offense, every system in the NFL is based off of that system. The numbering system, now it's kind of tweaked, but it's basically based off of Ron Earhart's numbering system.
Jim, when we watch games, those of us who haven't played, there's stuff that we can be easily impressed by, and sometimes we forget that we did see some of that stuff with previous Bears quarterbacks. What impresses you? What's the stuff that makes you go, oh my God, this guy might be different?
I think for him, it's the maturity. And I think he has the mental toughness to deal with the ups and downs or when people are criticizing him. He's already been under a lot of criticism at USC. He's been under a lot of criticism for a long time about his decisions, his personality, all these things, but he is who he is. And that doesn't, you know, outside noise doesn't seem to bother him, because I've always said this about Bears quarterbacks. Cade McNown, when he was drafted there, he felt vilified. You know, I'd say that about Rex Grossman. I'd say that about Jay Cutler. He felt vilified. I'd say that about the last two guys. When I've had conversations with Mitch, he felt vilified. And I think, Justin, you could see times last year where, you know, I think he had certain things that he said where the frustration was getting to him, where he now came under the criticism and everybody was pointing the finger at him. I think Caleb's different. I think Caleb has the demeanor. He's got the maturity, and he looks the part. He can handle all these things, because I think he's got the mental toughness to do that. You have to be mentally tough to take the criticism. And this guy, I don't think, makes any excuses. He's going to go out there and his teammates accept him, and he just seems to be ingratiated by everybody. I like how he's really carrying himself at the end of the day. He's earned it.
Does Keenan Allen look like he's pacing himself to you?
Yeah, because that's what savvy veterans do. Because if they can get a career high over 100 receptions out of him again, yeah, he can pace himself all he wants. He's a good player.
I'm just making sure, because there are a couple times where it might not be 100%, and I'm not denigrating him. I don't want this to sound he's allowed at this point, but I hope he's able to flip that switch at 32.
Yeah. I think it what's going to be a great personnel grouping for them is obviously their three wides package. If you put those two big monsters on the outside, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and let Keenan Allen work the slot, I think, number one, Bears will get a lot of two high looks that'll invite them to run the football with DeAndre Swift. But regardless, whether it's cover two, cover four, single high, Keenan Allen is fearless over the middle. That guy, as for slot receivers, I know he's up there in age. I'll take that guy any day of the week and twice on Sunday, because that dude shows up on Sunday. He reminds me a lot of John L. Williams. When I arrived in Pittsburgh, we traded for John L. Williams of the Seattle Seahawks. And I remember growing up as a kid watching Kurt Warner and John L. Williams and all the great Seattle Seahawks. And when he arrived in Pittsburgh, he looked like he couldn't even play anymore. I mean, he had wraps on his knees. He would walk through practice. Also, he'd run the wrong play. He'd go the wrong way. Then on game day, that guy was the best player on the field. I could not believe it. I'm like, this is pro football. I said, this guy, if you were to watch that guy during the week, you'd say, how is this guy even on the team? And then he'd just be a superstar on Sundays.
What's your evaluation of Roma Dunze now having a chance to see him for a couple games?
I think he's a star. I think between all those three, whether it's Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, there were some that had a Dunze one. There were some that had Nabers one. You know, you know, whether it's steak or, you know, steak or salmon. I mean, what's your flavor? This guy's a very productive player. He's big target. He's smooth. He runs like a gazelle, and he can do all types of things. And I wouldn't exclude him out from punt return ability either, because if the game's on the line and you want a big play, that's what Kansas City used to do with Tyreek Hill as a rookie. That's where you can make your biggest impact as a returner. And I hope the Bears choose to utilize him in that capacity too.
I've noticed during your commentary of these preseason games that you have not shied away from criticism, and you have explained, you've called things, that's not the decision you want to make, or that's a play somebody would want to have back. As you've done this over time, have the Bears given you any specific marching orders? Have you been told, hey, look, we own these broadcasts, you're working for the team, and this is a PR vehicle? Or have they let you do your job without that?
Yeah, they have never told me once. You know, just call it as you see it. And if it's a bad decision or a bad play, you're going to give the pat on the back on a great play like I did the other day with Kyler Gordon. I thought he had just a phenomenal game of tackling in space and the blitzes and all the things they did. And then if it's a bad play, hey, he's got to take a better angle. Quarterback's got to get the ball out of his hand. You know, it's the sack's on the quarterback. So the Bears have been giving me carte blanche to just say, hey, call the game as you see it. And I appreciate that. And I enjoy doing it. I really do. It keeps my mind in the game. And to me, football is the greatest sport on the planet.
Jim, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about Nate Davis, and I'm glad that he has kind of found his way back to practice. But I'm wondering, with some of the things that we heard Matt Eberflus say about, look, don't think that you're going to keep your job just because you're injured. I felt that was a very strong statement by Eberflus, because he's not really known to publicly challenge players. And even if it's an inference, like I thought it was a very strong thing by him. How do you view what's happening with Nate Davis? And does any of it matter if he suits back up, or does he have to go harder to earn the opportunity to start?
Yeah, I think he's got to stay healthy. I think availability is really what this is all about. It's been too inconsistent. You know, he arrived, I think he had the groin issue. He missed a lot of time last year before he got in there towards the end of the season. I'd say the same thing this year. They just want to go in because those early games are important. You know, so you want that continuity from your offensive line. Typically when lines, the teams that make it to the Super Bowl, their offensive lines pretty much stay intact all season long. And I think that's what Matt is hoping for. It's about availability. It's not so much about talent, because I think Davis got a good contract. He played well for Tennessee. But, you know, at the end of the day, you need continuity. You need guys to line up. That's one of the reasons why I'm not a Chicago Bear anymore. I couldn't stay healthy. You know, that's part of the deal.
We're going to be talking with Daniel Hardy a little bit later on for his meritorious performance. We are giving him the Ken Mastroli Award for this particular game, which we hand out after every game. Is he going to make this roster?
I think he's got a good shot. I think if he keeps showing, you know, what he's done, I mean, he keeps on, you know, making splash plays every single game. And I think the Bears are looking for a pass rusher. I think we know opposite, you know, Montez Sweat, you know, Walker, they'd like to kick down inside and do some race car stuff, and why they were interested in Judon. So somebody's got to emerge, whether that's Robinson, whether that's Booker, whether that's Hardy, whether that's Jacob Martin. I think he's been out with a toe. You know, somebody's got to emerge that has to be a consistent force opposite Montez Sweat.
How long are we going to wait on Dominique Robinson? I mean, the athletic gifts are clearly there. Just waiting for his eyes and his instincts to catch up with the body and the athleticism.
Yeah, we got a couple sacks in 2 years. We need to see a lot more. So I think it's he has to have a good game.
Did you enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes go behind his back?
Yes, I did. You know, it's just amazing how they just keep pushing that offense to new heights. You know, that's what's great about when you're in the same system year after year after, because Andy's looking to do more. Here I've got all these veteran players. We've got all this stuff down. We've got it mastered, right? As you said, as for the base offense, they've got all their Britannicas mastered. Now let's create a new one is what they're doing. That's crazy.
Have you ever seen anything like that? Like in a practice, I mean, anywhere in an NFL practice, where a quarterback just screwing around in a wrap.
Yeah,
like, hey.
I've seen guys, Dan Marino, I've seen him throw the ball 50 yards behind his back. Yeah, guys do all kinds of things. You know, they're constantly just perfecting their craft. You know, I used to look at Patrick Manley, how he would twirl the ball on his fingers, and he's a master manipulator. So guys are doing stuff like that all the time in practice. And for Patrick Mahomes, he makes it look easy. That's what the great ones do.
Well, Manley was just bored. Because he's just counting down in time for his tee time. He doesn't have anything to do. So that's why he's got to figure out all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. For him, it's probably natural because he's got such great baseball skills. He was a shortstop. So stuff like that, it really comes pretty naturally for him. He's been doing it his whole life because he was a little Ozzie Smith growing up, because he was a pretty good baseball player.
He's a decent point guard, too, yep. So there's a little bit of that that's coming out of there as well. Jim, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Good to be with you. Be well.
That is Jim Miller, who will be doing another game with Adam Amin coming up. This is Thursday night. We need a place in Vegas to go watch, aren't we?
I think we're good in the sports book at Circa.
You think?
I think we're
it's
good.
It's local. I don't know.
I think all you have to do is ask someone, and we know some people. We're like, hey,
Derek.
Derek,
big screen.
Derek, could you throw the Bears game up, and then we're good to go?
Yeah, he just taps a couple things on his phone, and we'll just have it up.
He's just like, Bears game. Bears. Speaking and it happens.
Of Circa, you should know all about what we are doing as we head to Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas Thursday, the 22nd, Friday, the 23rd. Lawrence and Layla and I will be there for the ultimate contest weekend ahead of the football season. Part of Radio Row, over 30 of your favorite radio stations, podcasts, and video casts. We'll be talking about Circa Survivor, Circa Million of the upcoming football season. Any entrant in the contest can take part in parties across the Circa properties, including Stadium Swim, Bar Canada, and more. Don't miss the Circa Preview Panel August 24th, where some of the top experts of the football world preview the upcoming season to give you some of their best bets. If you want to experience this with us, go to CircaLasVegas.com for more info.
I got the over-under on sports animals at 2.5.
Under.
You're going under?
Going under.
Oh, come on. There's a little Radio Row aspect to this whole thing. You're going to go under,
Dan? And shows named the sports animal?
Shows or stations called the sports animal.
I'll go under. I'll go under 2.5.
Studs, what you got?
2.5. Over. I'm going over.
Hell yeah, Studs.
I'm going like over as well.
Hell yeah.
I think it's going to be 3. I saw 3 at SEC Media Days.
I know, but that skews toward the Southeast and some of those.
Through the skews of the sports animal region.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about like smaller, like mid-market stations. They're like, we're going to be the sports animal. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go over.
We're the sports ocelot. We're the sports mustelid.
I'm gonna go over.
All right. You said on 2.5.
2.5. 2.5.
Cody Decker and Beetle isn't a sports animal, is it?
I don't know.
They're going to be there, right?
No, they're on Mad Dog. Well, I guess that technically is an animal.
Mad Dog video?
But it's not called the sports animal.
Right.
Like, this has to specifically be right. Show or station named sports animal.
Under 2.5.
Okay. Is it a good line, though?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to take it as long as you're offering it.
I think it's a good line.
I'm going to go 3. I'm going over. When we come back.
The bucket.
They'll be there.
We'll see if the bucket is there.
They'll be there.
We want to use what we saw.
Is Nasty Nestor going to be there?
I don't know.
In his jerseys?
To explain
nasty.
Why you should be continuing to try to build your own thing instead of this thing. And that's next.
If your day sounds like.
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein at Holmes, middays 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The score.
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
We'll build restrooms. We'll make this a place that people want to come and spend time.
Restrooms are good. I learned that because we flew out of Midway this week, and Midway has oddly long men's restroom lines. At least it did on this day. I'm not used to seeing it. Sometimes a plane lands and people all get off and get in line, and I said, I'll go to the next bathroom. The next bathroom, there was a line out the door. I'm like, you know, I'm not used to this.
I think it was probably the day.
Maybe. I mean, I understand Midway can be really convenient.
Yeah.
For people south of the city.
Yeah.
And it can't.
I mean, there were a lot of people who were coming into town because there's like a thing
yes,
here.
That I know.
You know, so that might be why there's more volume than usual.
But not when we left. It was more so on the way out than the way in. But it was, the people coming in to Chicago, you could sense that there was something building. You could see official people kind of buzzing around and it's cool. Like I mentioned, what a day to kick it off. What a day you got here to show off this city.
Pretty nice. Get your track shoes on and walk around the city a little bit. Although I don't know if anyone's going to, once you get into those perimeters, I don't know if anyone can get out.
The green zone's the green zone. And other than that, there's,
Tell Rome where the green zone is and watch his feet.
Yeah. Figure that out.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Really nice, very talented young man, Rome Odunze.
Called himself.
How about that?
Tony Toe Tap back there. But at least in the regular season, there will be a big white stripe, and members of the white stripes will be standing there, and they will tell you, get your feet over there and get your mouth shut.
It'll just be Meg, and she'll just be right playing rhythm.
Right after they played Seven Nation Army, right?
She's just keeping time. That's what she did.
I know.
Hey, that's a fun song to play.
I bet it is. On drums, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
It worked out. Metallica was at Soldier Field recently. And, you know, they put on a great concert. You saw all the people. They put on a great concert. People had a good time. Here's the thing, though. When big concerts come to town, and usually spring and summer is when it happens at Soldier Field, because, you know, it doesn't have a dome on it, they can sometimes leave a mess. And it's not that they're actively trying to leave a mess, but what they need on part of their show might mess up pieces of the field. If you were watching the broadcast of the game, you saw them out there with the paint grass gun where it looks like a leaf blower, but it's really kind of putting green paint on the field.
Paint machine.
So there, which can be dangerous if you're covering up a seam that everybody should know is there.
Yeah, and you notice like if the way that the end zone back line was drawn was a little off, and maybe it threw Rome off, and that's why he couldn't get the what did he say, Tony Two Tap or something?
Toe Tap. Yep.
Why he couldn't get his feet down in the place where he wanted his feet to be. This is what Matt Eberflus said about the field conditions.
Yeah, so the turf, our guys do a great job of putting the turf down. The thing with this time was that it was put down a little bit later because of the concerts and everything like that, and hadn't been down that long. But it was, in terms of its safety, in terms of its play, in terms of what it was on the field, it was fine. It was good. You know, because the NFL obviously tests that. It was up to their standards. And again, once it ends up, you know, being in there for a couple more weeks before the first game, it'll look beautiful.
Okay. And look, Flus cares about the field.
He does.
We know that he's the guy that had the Bermuda grass installed here, and it was important to him. So this is, he's not just saying stuff, because we know that the field conditions have been a priority.
Yes, he cares about it because he would like for his team to play fast on it. So he's brought a fast track. But put this into the pile of things that are part of the conversation of
get out of there and own your own building.
These are the types of things, Evan, that don't happen,
Evan,
when you have control of the facility.
Evan,
you get to choose when concerts take place. And
or
maybe
if.
And maybe if you're in charge of a football team, you make sure that in August there aren't going to be any of those. Because the priority would be the football team. That would be your priority. So now we've had a couple of instances since the governor basically said no to your breakfast. And
for him to say no to a breakfast is a big deal.
I don't know if we need to shame the governor in that regard.
JB catching strays over
here.
Yeah,
like for no reason at all.
That's my guy.
Seemingly not.
Yes, it's my guy.
You can
Did you
just
see him drinking Malort?
The unofficial shot of the DNC,
yes,
is Malort.
Yes.
It's not good.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is.
You could just build your own place, and then you could make up your own rules instead of partnering with a park district that has the right to try and make money by bringing acts like Metallica and Kanye and Beyonce and Taylor Swift to Soldier Field, knowing that it might damage it, because they care, but they don't care so much as to not take the money, nor should they. They should want. And Soldier Field, even after the Bears leave, I think will be an excellent concert venue that they could do all sorts of stuff with.
And not have to worry about people getting hurt while playing football there afterward.
Correct. So just, you're the largest landowner in Arlington Heights. I remember someone saying that. Mm-hmm. Go build on the land that you own. and then build your place, and you can put a dome on it, and you don't have to worry about friends of the park. You don't have to worry about snarling traffic. You don't have to worry about getting down to the city. You don't have to worry about Taylor Swift or Kanye West or Metallica.
Or Pink is coming, right? Isn't she next?
Doesn't she usually do Wrigley?
I think she's doing Soldier Field.
Okay. She and her show is extremely elaborate. You don't want to have to worry about that when the football team is the most important thing to you. The money is the most important thing to the city, as it should be. As the park district, as it should be. So yeah, they're going to have a couple of HBCU teams play there. They're going to have a high school game there. They're going to have Metallica there.
And it's not your problem.
I mean, it can be your problem. And it is your problem now. But it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be when you get to decide what goes on your field, Kevin.
And yeah.
You know you can do? You can have cranes. You can erect giant cranes to build it. Because I know those make you feel good.
Yes.
When you look up and you can point to them. You see cranes in the sky, city good.
And one of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
And wave them like you just don't care.
Yep. You can just do that.
All right, I've got another football story coming up for High Noon.
Just so simply, like, fixed.
I have an official statement that this is a lesson in giving away the game.
Okay.
Where somebody made an official statement that kind of tells you more than maybe they want you to know.
I learned why Andrew McCutchen grew out his braids.
What's next?
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It is time for High Noon. We are going to have three of them here in Chicago this week, and the final two from Las Vegas. So, we talked about the Bears and the fact that it's the Bears quarterback doing stuff. And you go, oh, my God, look at that. What? I just don't have an aesthetic for it. It's like an alien. That's usually a quarterback on a different team that does that. And it's all very exciting. But we did see that things didn't come easy for him the first three drives. And that's all right. We heard the way he talked about his performance, which is already graduate level stuff. And we heard what Matt Eberflus said about it, too. We also talked about the comparison that Caleb Williams is willing to draw between himself and patterning his game after that of Aaron Rodgers.
Good choice.
Why shouldn't he? Jim Miller also broke it down for us as well, and we discussed the ongoing issues with the Soldier Field turf that maybe, finally, the Bears will choose to avoid.
Did they say necessity is the mother of invention? Is
yes,
that right?
Correct.
Benjamin Franklin? I think so. Well, here's what happens when you can't find your way to a barber because you're in a different place and they might not have it.
Green Bay?
Well, strangely enough, here's what Kutch had to say about that.
I couldn't find the proper barber in Hickory, North Carolina. So, hair was kind of growing a little bit.
Is that how the dreads came into play?
Exactly.
Oh, because you couldn't find a barber.
Couldn't find a barber for months.
So that became.
I was walking. I would go. I'm telling you guys. I would walk around the mall any chance I got. I would walk around the mall just looking for somebody to ask.
So
yeah.
Because that's the thing. Finding a barber, especially as like, no, this is not being racist, but as a black man trying to find a barber that you can trust in Hickory, North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a grow dress too.
I could not find anybody.
No.
I ain't no telling what I look like. But I finally found somebody at the mall. I said, excuse me, brother. where do you get your haircut at? Okay. And he gave me an address. He was like, yeah, you go over here. I was like, cool. Called the place, went there. It was in the hood. I was like, oh, they got a hood around here. So then I pulled in this little building and I walked in and yeah, buddy was like, he's like, what you looking for? I was like, man, I just give me a low fade. And he was like, man, let me just line you up, man. Give you a nice little, you know, shoot, just grow the hair out a little bit more if you want. I'm like, he's like, you got it to this point. I'm like, all right.
So that's how Andrew McCutchen started growing his braids.
So he was a hickory crawdad.
Yeah, he's a hickory crawdad. Well, I guess he was a hickory crawdad. I would imagine that back then he was a hickory crawdad. And was having a hard time finding someone to cut his hair.
Yeah, hickory is, according to the latest demographics, 65% white and 14% black or African American non-Hispanic.
Yeah. And this was probably,
this is a long time ago, yeah,
2000 or something like that. In the early 2000s. And there it is. So now you know the story.
And I'll say this. If you've ever worked in minor league baseball, the idea of walking around a mall, that's half your damn life. Because these tiny little towns, at least the places where we were going in A-ball, like that's all you're at a crappy hotel. You hope the hotel is in walking distance of a mall, and that's kind of where you went. And you would see if you have free tickets or a couple of, you know, see if you can find a date.
Yeah.
Maybe say, hey, see you at the game kind of thing. Hope there's a Denny's within walking distance.
Or a Shoney's.
Or a Shoney's. That was good eating, man.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted.
Oh, by the way, you were right. Our buddy Kai Martin texted me and said, oh, Pink will be at Soldier Field this weekend.
Okay, so I thought, yeah.
Yeah. So, great. Great. For the Bears.
Build your own place.
Tell me if something stands out to you here where somebody may have offered a little too much.
Okay.
This is from USA Today. A new NFL security policy soon to be enacted has the Las Vegas Police Protective Association, it's their police union, sounding alarms and suggesting officers will no longer staff Raiders games if the new rules go into effect. The policy in question will require game day staff to submit biometric data, including an image of their face via an app, before they can gain full clearance at the stadium. But now, understand, the Las Vegas police uses this kind of technology in their policing. President of the Las Vegas Police Protective Association, Steve Gramas, made a statement about the changes, emphasizing that the heart of the issue for the union is that collecting this information from staff in such a manner could lead to the data, quote, falling into the hands of people who are anti-cop, that support a different agenda than what law and order supports.
Uh-huh.
Unquote.
So you're concerned.
I would ask Mr. Gramas, first of all,
why is your name not Grimace?
What is that? What is this anti-cop agenda? And what are you hiding? What would be this oppo that would be used? And who are these people that would maybe learn things about some of your members that you don't want them to learn? What are you hiding? Now, we all know the answer. The answer is membership in any number of organizations.
Sure.
Say off the top of my head, I don't know, 3%ers. Oath Keepers,
the KKK,
Proud Boys, the Klan. So I say, like, wait a second, you can't take pictures of our faces
like we do to you,
because
the public.
We sometimes wear hoods over those faces so you can't see them.
That's exactly why.
Or we march with our khakis on and our masks over our faces,
and
even though we're anti-mask. Like, you talk about giving away the game. You're not standing on First Amendment grounds or any of these things.
But you would think that it shouldn't be that far of a leap for...
Well, you can't take pictures of us. Why? Well, people, they don't like law and order. They're going to be
good
mad. They don't. See, actually, I think these people really do like Law and Order.
It's a good show.
Especially the law part of it, where what you're trying to do is cover up things that are not legal or adjacent to things that are not legal. That's the point. I think you're actually worried about having Law and Order visited upon you and your members.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what I think is going on.
That never happens.
Like this is your spokesman? You can't take pictures of us. Then you're going to find out which one of us are Nazis. Did I say that out loud?
There's a really bad history of people who run police fraternities and unions not always being the best cops. Some of them sometimes even get their police power taken away because they're so bad at being police officers. They're like, I'm an authority on it. But wait, didn't you have your police power taken away?
Respect my authority.
No, don't mention that. That doesn't matter. Sure it does.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It kind of means that you weren't playing by the rules. Hypothetically speaking.
Of course. Just purely like, hypothetically.
Yeah. That's nothing that would happen here.
No.
No.
No, you're just spitballing.
Yeah, just kind of trying to figure out, you know, why something like this would happen. Like giving you a scenario in which it might happen in like a large city, for example, like this one.
Yeah. Some city of this size.
Yes, yeah, so like relatively the same size as Chicago, Illinois. Yeah. That right there.
We're going to follow this up with sexy, sexy football.
Yeah, man. Would you like to hear some sexy football from your quarterback?
Sexy time.
Because we've got some sexy football being explained from your quarterback. That is next on The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there. Out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It is time for High Noon. We are going to have three of them here in Chicago this week, and the final two from Las Vegas. So, we talked about the Bears and the fact that it's the Bears quarterback doing stuff, and you go, oh my God, look at that. What? I just don't have an aesthetic for it. It's like an alien. That's usually a quarterback on a different team that does that. And it's all very exciting, but we did see that things didn't come easy for him the first three drives. And that's all right. We heard the way he talked about his performance, which is already graduate level stuff. And we heard what Matt Eberflus said about it too. We also talked about the comparison that Caleb Williams is willing to draw between himself and patterning his game after that of Aaron Rodgers.
Good choice.
Why shouldn't he? Jim Miller also broke it down for us as well, and we discussed the ongoing issues with the Soldier Field turf that maybe, finally, the Bears will choose to avoid.
It's High Noon.
They say necessity is the mother of invention, is that right?
Correct.
Benjamin Franklin? I think so. Well, here's what happens when you can't find your way to a barber because you're in a different place. And they might not have it.
Green Bay?
Well, strangely enough, here's what Kutch had to say about that.
I couldn't find the proper barber in Hickory, North Carolina. So, hair was kind of growing a little bit.
Is that how the dreads came into play?
Exactly.
Oh, because you couldn't find a barber?
Couldn't find a barber
so
for months.
And then I was...
Walking, I would go. I'm telling you guys, I would walk around the mall any chance I got. I would walk around the mall just looking for somebody to ask.
So
yeah,
because that's the thing. That's the thing. Finding a barber, especially as like, no, this is not being racist, but as a black man trying to find a barber that you can trust yeah. in Hickory, North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. And
I could I'm a grow dress too.
I could not find anybody.
No,
I ain't no telling what I look like. But I finally found somebody at the mall. I said, "Excuse me, brother. Where do you get your haircut at?" Okay. And he gave me an address. He was like, "Yeah, you go over here." I was like, "Cool." Called the place. Went there. It was in the hood. I was like, "Oh, they got a hood around here." So then I pulled in this little building and I walked in and yeah, buddy was like, he's like, "What you looking for?" I was like, "Man, I just give me a low fade." And he was like, "Man, let me just line you up, man. Give you a nice little, you know, shoot, just grow the hair out a little bit more if you want." I'm like, he's like, "You got it to this point." I'm like, "All right."
So that's how Andrew McCutchen started growing his braids.
So he was a Hickory Crawdad.
Yeah, he's a Hickory Crawdad. Well, I guess he was a Hickory Crawdad.
Has
I would
to be.
Imagine yeah. that back then yeah. he was Hickory Crawdad. And was having a hard time finding someone to cut his hair.
Yeah, Hickory is, according to the latest demographics, 65% white and 14% black or African American, non-Hispanic.
Yeah. And this was probably,
this is a long time ago, yeah,
2000 or something like that. In the early 2000s. And there it is. So now you know the story.
And I'll say this. If you've ever worked in minor league baseball, the idea of walking around a mall, that's half your damn life. Because these tiny little towns, at least the places where we were going in A-ball, like that's all you had. You're at a crappy hotel. You hope the hotel is in walking distance of a mall. And that's kind of where you went. And you would see if you have free tickets or a couple of, you know, see if you can find a date.
Yeah.
Maybe say, "Hey, see you at the game," kind of thing. Hope there's a Denny's within walking distance.
Or a Shoney's.
That was good eating, man.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted.
Oh, by the way, you were right. Our buddy Kai Martin texted me and said, oh, Pink will be at the at Soldier Field this weekend.
Okay, so I thought, yeah.
Yeah. So, great. Great. For the Bears.
Build your own place.
Tell me if something stands out to you here where somebody may have offered a little too much.
Okay.
This is from USA Today. A new NFL security policy soon to be enacted has the Las Vegas Police Protective Association, it's their police union, sounding alarms and suggesting officers will no longer staff Raiders games if the new rules go into effect. The policy in question will require game day staff to submit biometric data, including an image of their face via an app, before they can gain full clearance at the stadium.
Uh-oh!
But now, understand, the Las Vegas police uses this kind of technology in their policing. President of the Las Vegas Police Protective Association, Steve Gramis, made a statement about the changes, emphasizing that the heart of the issue for the union is that collecting this information from staff in such a manner could lead to the data, quote, falling into the hands of people who are anti-cop, that support a different agenda than what law and order supports.
Uh-huh.
Unquote.
So you're concerned.
I would ask Mr. Gramis, first of all,
why is your name not Grimace?
What is that? What is this anti-cop agenda? And what are you hiding? What would be this oppo that would be used? And who are these people that would maybe learn things about some of your members that you don't want them to learn? What are you hiding? Now, we all know the answer. The answer is membership in any number of organizations.
Sure.
Say off the top of my head, I don't know, Three Percenters, Oath Keepers,
the KKK,
Proud Boys, the Klan. So I say, wait a second, you can't take pictures of our faces.
like we do to you, because the public.
We sometimes wear hoods over those faces so you can't see them.
That's exactly why.
Or we march with our khakis on and our masks over our faces,
and
even
a tiki torch.
Even though we're anti-mask. Like, you talk about giving away the game? You're not standing on First Amendment grounds or any of these things.
But you would think that it shouldn't be that far of a leap.
You can't take pictures of us. Why? Well, people, they don't like Law and Order. They're going to be
good
mad. They don't. See, actually, I think it's people who really do like Law and Order.
It's a good show.
Especially the law part of it, where what you're trying to do is cover up things that are not legal. Or adjacent to things that are not legal. That's the point. I think you're actually worried about having Law and Order visited upon you and your members.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what I think is going on.
That never happens.
Like this is your spokesman? You can't take pictures of us. Then you're going to find out which one of us are Nazis. Did I say that out loud?
There's a really bad history of people who run police fraternities and unions not always being the best cops. Some of them sometimes even get their police power taken away because they're so bad at being police officers. They're like, I'm an authority on it. But wait, didn't you have your police power taken away?
Respect my authority.
No, don't mention that. That doesn't matter. Sure it does.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It kind of means that you weren't playing by the rules. Hypothetically speaking.
Of course. Just purely like, hypothetically.
Yeah. That's nothing that would happen here.
No.
No.
No, you're just spitballing.
Yeah, just kind of trying to figure out, you know, why something like this would happen. Like giving you a scenario in which it might happen in like a large city, for example, like this one.
Yeah. Some city of this size?
Yes, like relatively the same size as Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, that right there.
We're going to follow this up with sexy, sexy football.
Yeah, man. Would you like to hear some sexy football from your quarterback?
Sexy time.
Because we've got some sexy football being explained from your quarterback. That is next on The Score.